and welcome to the 129th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
Harry, we are here to start our ninth season of doing podcast number 129.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Well, the first few years were not fun. We started out, for those of you that are new to this little thing we put together, we started out Daryl Dickey's last season, which was a real barn burner. Went through the controversy of the black uniforms and all that fun. Then the chosen one, Daryl Dodge, came on. We fought through those years.
Todd Dodge.
I was like, Daryl Dickey. Sorry. Could have been Daryl Dodge. Might as well. And then, obviously, the latest coming, the coach that took us to a heck of a bowl game last year.
Yeah, Coach Mack's been a godsend. And, I mean, he had, you know, the first couple of years were tough. But, you know, year three, you know, he struck gold, and it's, you just feel there's more enthusiasm, you know, having a winning season. This is the first one in 9 years, basically.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy, but it's.
It's crazy we've done this for 9 years and well, before we had a winning season.
Yeah, I mean, we're gluttons for punishment, but it's nice to sense that feeling of, you know, hey, we've had success, now we want to feel it again. And you definitely, I mean, on the social media, you sense it. I mean, there's a lot of momentum, a lot of excitement, you know, leading up to this first game against the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt, there is a lot of momentum. Harry and I also have a list of the Twitter feeds and the stuff that goes on, GoMeanGreen.com, Mean Green right. Fan, all access to all that. And we get emails when things have been retweeted or information pops up. The activity on this has been absolutely overwhelming since that bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, winning, you know, is fun and it's exciting. And you sense it with the student population. Obviously, the alums are excited. I think that Heart of Dallas Bowl was just a really big step. I think I've told you this. I mean, I feel like as a fan that's been following the program for 15 or so years, even back when I was a student, that Heart of Dallas Bowl was the high water mark as a fan. I mean, to have that type of crowd show up and root on for a great victory. You know, just looking around, I mean, you didn't see the same old faces. You saw a lot of new faces. You saw a lot of people that were wearing green and that had a lot of spirit. So it was just I just feel there's a lot of momentum behind this program right now.
There is a lot of momentum, a lot of great information coming out. There's a lot of controversy of what's going on in Texas right now. We're not going to get into that, obviously, because we've got several weeks before the game. We've got a lot of great news coming out. Some of it we're going to talk to RV about. It's always great to get kind of a State of the Union address from RV this time of year. Usually we go up there. We just weren't able to pull it off this year, but we're going to have him on the phone. I know the first and foremost everybody wants to know is about the beer at the stadium.
Yeah, you know, you got to have your priorities in order, but, you know, one of the questions I know that came up on the board and I was interested in is what flavors are they going to have? I mean, you know, I know they're going to have a few different choices, I would think, but it's kind of interesting to know. Is Shiner Bock going to be one of those? I mean, you know, Ziegenbach was, when we went to the Houston game, I thought that was kind of cool. You could get a Ziegenbach draft beer at Houston Stadium.
Well, I'm not real big on the local breweries, local flavors, but you got to think, are they going to have, like, maybe some craft beers from some of the local place? You can have your Franconian on there, one of your Elm, and I'm sure there's some in Denton, and I hate to leave them out, but I don't get there up there as much as a lot of people, but I'm hoping they have a lot of that local flair.
Well, you know, Metzler's Barbecue and the Metzler family supporters of have been for years and years are the ones that are kind of handling this, so I'm sure they have a lot of input in that as well. So we got to ask him the question. Maybe he knows. Maybe he doesn't.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have plenty to say on it either way. So, Harry, we have before we get into RV and Brett, we have a lot to talk about because – the offseason has a lot of holes. We had a lot of star players, Breland Chancellor, and there's just a lot of guys that we lost. A lot of people are expecting a lot out of this Mean Green team, and you got to wonder how many of those holes have we effectively filled?
You know, we won't really know that. I mean, the reality of it is that every year you're going to have graduation losses. This year hurt, especially because the guys we lost were so integral to having such a great season, and they were leaders. I mean, when you talk about Zach Orr, I mean, that guy, you know, he's in an NFL camp right now. He played a lot of good football for us. Breland Chancellor, Darnell Smith, a wide receiver. The biggest name probably is at the quarterback position, you know, losing Derek Thompson. I mean, that's a big loss, and he had an outstanding, you know, finish to the season last year. So I think it's one of those deals where you worry about it a little bit, but the reality of it is that this is a system. You know, Coach Mack has been recruiting good players. They're developing players and better than they ever have. And it's time for these young guys to step up and show us what they can do. And as a fan, that's exciting to me. I mean, you don't know who's going to come out there and impress you. You hope that we can get some good performance at the quarterback position. But the reality of it is, I mean, it's going to be until we see them step on the field against Texas, we're not going to know that for sure.
So you talk about that. What is your biggest concern, your biggest what's causing the most excitement? I mean, I know we're still early on into Tua days, but, you know, or to the players being around, but tell me what your thoughts are right now.
My biggest concern is the defensive line, but, you know, if you rewind to us having this discussion a year ago, I would have said the same thing, and we ended up having the best defensive line in Conference USA, in my opinion. So, I you know, I say that knowing full well that there's going to be some guys that could step up and surprise us a little bit. So I think, you know, that would be my biggest concern. And then secondarily to that, it would probably be the quarterback position, because we basically are starting from scratch. But we're not the only program out there that's having to do that. And then I think the thing I'm most excited about is going to be the offensive line and our running backs. I think we have as deep a running back position talent-wise as we've had in a long time, and we've had some good, you know, with Jamario and Patrick Cobbs on the same team. I mean,
we've talked about how we've managed to pull together a long string of great running backs. Last year, you know, it was carried by several. You know, what are we going to do there? Are we going to have one strong back like we've had previous years? What are we going
to
do?
No, I mean, I think that's it's Mack likes to have a committee. I mean, they ran a lot of Pegram last year until he got hurt, and obviously Brandon Bird's a big contributor. This year, the interesting thing I think that's different is that you've got some ramrod backs. You know, Antoine Jimerson can make some great plays, but then I think they're adding a speed dimension that they haven't had. Rex Rollins, the guy can just fly. I mean, he's really, really fast. And Eric Evans is another guy. Keep an eye out on Eric Evans. I think this kid is going to really impress people. He's just a redshirt freshman, but he's got some track speed.
What about, and we talked about it a little bit, the quarterback situation. You know, we've talked about it. It's a big question mark now. Last year, at the start of last year, we thought there was going to be some big names. We like certain players. Things have really changed in a year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the right now it's still fairly open, but they have said they've narrowed it down to two guys that are going to be with the ones and twos, and that's going to be Andrew McNulty. He's going to be a junior this year. He's redshirted, been in the program for a while, Iowa City kid. And then you're also going to have Josh Greer, who's a Navarro a junior college transfer that's, you know, looks the part, 6'5", 220 pounds, big arm. And then, you know, back behind the scenes, you've got Dejon Williams, who I've been real clear to people. I think he's an extremely talented kid. If he can just put it all together. And, you know, I think that there is going to be a battle, a quarterback battle, because Mack loves to kind of keep that up until the last minute. But at the end of the day, I'm putting my money on McNulty starting in Austin.
Wow. Well, that's an interesting thought, and I'm sure that's going to be a controversial one. We are a short, 4 weeks away from that game in Austin?
Yeah, I mean, I
guess I should have counted before we started. But, yeah, I think we're like 4 weeks away.
It's close.
Typically, that is always our first game when we do play Texas, and it is always a hot one.
It's always hot, and it's always fun. I mean, it's exciting to get to go to Austin. It's a cool town, and that's a great tradition. I mean, that stadium's going to be packed to the gill. And
because Texas just has as many question marks with their coaching staff. Everybody wants to know the players suspended. There's a lot going on down there. So there's going to be a lot of interest to find out what he's going to bring to the table. And we're just happen to be the ones that are at the table with him.
I mean, I hate playing body bag games, but if we're going to have to do it, Texas is number one on my list because the notoriety and here we are, they've got a brand new head coach. They're hiring a new chancellor. I mean, That doesn't happen every year. There's a lot of controversy because they're dismissing a lot of players. you know, at the end of the day, hey, let's be honest, we're going to have some lucky breaks to beat or really even stay close with Texas for four quarters. They've got the best talent every single year when recruiting, and they're Texas. But that's what's kind of fun about these games. It's just like Georgia last year. You know, no one thought we were going to stay with Georgia for three quarters, but we did, and it was, as a fan, one of the most exciting moments of the entire season.
It was absolutely unbelievable. Everybody was excited about that. Speaking of which, we have a lot of games on TV this year.
Yeah, Conference USA has been phenomenal in terms of getting better television opportunities. If you remember in the Belt, they would throw out there, oh, yeah, we've got all these TV opportunities, but it was really that ESPN3 kind of deal, which not a lot of people. You know, I used to get it through my Xbox and felt like I was really special.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Conference USA has been a godsend in a lot of ways, and television access is just one of them. I mean, there's – I think we're up to, and someone in the chat room right now can correct me, but is it like 10 of 12 games?
No, 11 of 12
games.
Okay,
11 of 12 games. Yep. And they think that 12th game's going to end up happening too, because there's a good chance that one might get picked up.
What is the last one that's not?
I think someone said Indiana.
Oh, wait, I'm looking at it. I just pulled it up right here. The only one, yeah, Indiana.
It's Indiana.
It just says to be announced. Yeah. But Longhorn Network, Sports, Fox Sports, CBS, Sinclair Network, what's that going to be on?
Sinclair Network, that's a good question.
Isn't that like an oil company with the old dinosaur? Remember that, Sinclair? I always thought when I was a kid, I thought that was the name of the dinosaur.
No, Sinclair is a media organization, but it's kind of a little bit obscure, and it's not in big markets. I was reading it's that they're trying to get them into some of the bigger cities. It's, you know, you can watch Sinclair if you're in, you know, Des Moines, but you can't watch it in Dallas or San Antonio. But anyway, it is a...
It's like the Longhorn Network.
But they're working on that, and you know,
that's what they said at Texas.
True.
They're working on that.
They're working on that.
Well, that's great. I mean, you have the opportunity. Hopefully, most people can make the games. The whole reason why we were so excited to be in Conference USA is you have very makeable games. You've got UTSA and Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's San Antonio trip that we're already talking about a lot of as how fun that can be this year,
right.
and that could be for all the marbles. You know, think about it. That could
be
a game that the winner goes to the Conference USA championship.
Yeah, that's very exciting. UTEP in at
El Paso.
UTEP,
go to El Paso. Don't go into Juarez, but. You know.
Yeah, well, that's an easy makeable trip.
Yep.
I don't know how much tickets are going to cost with Southwest and the whole Wright Amendment, but it is what it is. At Rice, it's Houston. That's an easy game there.
Yeah.
Easy one to make. Florida, I mean, you look at the schedule, and other than at UAB, at Indiana, the rest of these are very makeable games. Very makeable.
Absolutely, and it's, you know, this is what we were hoping for all those years, and I mean, that's why Conference USA for North Texas is the perfect, you know, I mean, we get to play these Texas teams where before we didn't even have a Texas team in our conference. So it's, you know, I think people need to take advantage of it. And these road trips are awesome because they're easy to do.
When was the last time we had an AM game on a Saturday at home?
Yeah, and I think that's for television.
Yeah, it is. It's for Fox Sports, and it's going to be SMU, which will be a well-attended game. Everybody's excited about that. Extra tickets, that's all everybody's been talking about. But that's an early game.
And I don't like that, to be honest with you. I think that's tough with families and kids that play soccer and things of that nature, but you got to get on TV. I mean, if you can get that TV exposure, it's worth it. I just have bad memories from – because they used to do those a lot at Fouts Field. And, I mean, I got some of the worst sunburns at some of those 11 o'clock games at Fouts
well,
off the
I was
aluminum,
about to,
you know,
yeah, I was
stuff.
About, I was about to say that there's not going to be any shade for the alums on that game.
No.
It's going to be – it is going to be hot and sunny. You know, usually the regular starts – you know, the student side, which we're going to get into the whole student section scenario in a minute, but the student side, you know, they get sun well into the, you know, the third quarter, but we don't. I mean, on the alum side, we'll be in the shade. Well, this is going to be a little different than SMU game, but the SMU fans are going to be just as hot on the other side.
Tell me,
what are your thoughts on this whole student fan, young alum section?
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy about it. We have some good fans that, you know, went up and put together a kind of a donation deal where we could buy up it. But basically, Conference USA, a lot of the teams that in Conference USA complained to
how
the office.
How great is that?
About what was going on. And, you know, I'm on that side a lot of times. And I got to say, I mean, there were some brutal attacks going on, verbal attacks.
Everybody knows has been to the stadium, the dynamic and the sound and the way it just happened to work out. It is loud in there. And everybody from Houston and everybody that's played there has commented on how loud it is and how great that is. The whole North Texas chant, everything is way over the top. And so those students just made it worse. And that's so awesome.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, I think it's still going to be that way, to be honest with you. I think that there's going to be, they're letting the young recent grads get in that section now. And I still think they're going to have a lot of students that end up at the front and get to keep harassing the other teams. It's just that I think the conference had to do something in response to some of these schools. And, you know, it's unfortunate that they even have to address it, because that's part of what's fun about going to games. You know, if I'm Britton Banowski at Conference USA, I'm worrying more about how do I get people off their lazy butts in the couch and their high-definition screens to come to my games. But, you know, it's just one of those things you have to deal with. And you know, I think we'll be fine. I think we'll work our way through it.
All right. So before we get into too much, let's go ahead and try to get RV on, because I'm sure he'll have plenty to say.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and pause it. For those of you listening on iTunes or recorded, you won't see a difference. For those of you listening in the chat room or listening live, give us a second. I'll just play a little music and we get RV on the phone. We'll get rocking.
Was that beep from your end or mine?
That was at my end. Sorry, we had a music playing.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't my
phone going dead. No, you're good. All right, joining us on the phone, we are lucky to have the athletic director for the University of North Texas, Rick Villarreal. Rick, thanks for joining us.
No, I'm always glad to do that. You know, always glad to answer fans' questions, and appreciate everybody that that cares about us. And, you know, good or bad, it's just great that we have people care about the Mean Green, so I'm glad to be on.
It's been a tremendous offseason, I imagine, Rick. A lot of interest after their wonderful bowl win. Explain to us how things have changed since that great bowl victory, the great showing. Mean Green pride was at a high that a lot of people hadn't seen ever at the university.
Well, we've seen an increase in ticket sales. We've seen, you know, a bunch of new people in the Mean Green Club. We've seen a... But the biggest thing is when you walk around town, or you walk in the community, or even in the Dallas area, and you got your North Texas gear on, your Mean Green gear on, and the number of people that just stop and say, "Hey, I went to North Texas, and I'm really proud." And you know, I kind of say, "Hey, we appreciate it. You know, the kids worked hard, and now we just need, you know, if you came to the bowl game, you need to come to the regular games. You need to help us fill up the stadium." So it's been tremendous. It's been tremendous around the country. I mean, we've probably done more requests and more interviews in national spaces than we probably ever have before. So it's not just locally that it's paying off. It's paying off on a national level too.
Rick, one of the questions that everybody wants to know, and some of the off-season talk of recent, was the decision to sell alcohol at the stadium. And kind of go into a little bit about that, because actually that's a lot of the questions were related to that.
Right. Well, you know, it was if the decision had been solely left up to me, we would have started with that in the stadium. That was not really the situation at that time, and so we went with it in the club and suite levels. And you know, with a change in leadership at the university, especially, you know, Dr. Smotris had been around UNLV where they served alcohol, and you know, he saw the same things that we did. There was a reduction in stuff outside the stadium, and there was, you know, there weren't people just going crazy inside the arenas of the stadium because you served alcohol. I mean, you know, all of our families take their kids or families to the Rangers games. They take them to the Cowboys games. They take them to the Rough Riders games. They take them, you know, to the FC Dallas games. They serve beer at all those places. But you don't see, you know, you don't see just widespread everybody out of control. And I don't, you'll see that at a football stadium. And after talking to people at West Virginia, talking with Rick Hart down at SMU about their experience, and the people at Lafayette who started 3 or 4 years ago, you know, we felt comfortable. We sent our risk management team as well as administrative team to do work with some folks just to make sure that we covered all of our bases. But I think, you know, when we're in the market we're in, We are competing for the dollar. We are competing for fans. And so I think you have to provide as many amenities as you can. You know, we go to a lot of stadiums, we did in the Sun Belt, you know, whether it was Lafayette or it was Tulane this past year, or Western Kentucky, that were, you know, they're selling beers in their stadium already. And so, you know, it's I just think it's a time that we provide that amenity. We want to do it for our fans, but we're also going to be make sure that we have control of it. You know, we're not going to be hesitant about, you know, if we feel like people aren't being safe, having to drink, we're going to reserve that right to make sure we don't, you know, let people get in trouble or whether it's in the stands or on the way home. We're going to put as many services as we can in place for those people who are going to partake, and then we'll put the rules out here pretty quick. We're working with both our manager, our license holder for the stadium, as well as the local beer companies, to make sure that we have the best policies in place. So once those are finished here in the next week, we'll put those out. But, you know, you won't be able to go up and buy 8 beers at a time. You know, you won't
right.
be able to, you know, it'll be 2 beers, I'm sure, and it'll, you know, there'll be some other stuff that'll be involved. But we just want to be safe. You know, we want to make sure the probably the number one concern by the people at the university was making sure we didn't serve students that were underage. And so we're going to be very careful about it, and we hope that people will be patient, you know, that if we ask for an ID, that somebody, you know, anybody up and they're asked for an ID, the fact that they might look 60 years old, you know, we still have the responsibility to ask for it. And, we're going to follow TABC rules and do all those things. So I just hope people will be patient with it and enjoy the amenity we're adding.
So, Rick, we had a question. Do you know what flavors of beers they're going to serve on draft? And
you didn't realize you'd be answering these questions right out of the
gate.
Okay.
You know, and I think it's a good question. You know, we down the road, we're probably going to experiment some. I mean, but right now, I think in getting it underway, we're going to be probably, you know, limited to probably 6 or 7 selections. Right now, I can't really kind of disclose who that is because our vendor's working with everybody, so we don't even have the list totally decided yet. But, you know, we're just going to make sure that we don't get into so much of a line of just like a lot of places don't, where you just have, 50 selections and nobody's happy. You can't really keep up with the demand of everybody in particular areas because you're trying to keep X amount of beers cold. I will tell you that we are, they'll be served in aluminum can. I mean, aluminum, you know, like the screw top can.
Right, okay, okay.
And we won't be selling it by draft.
Okay, it will not be draft. It'll be in the aluminum, if you keep it, I mean, that can get really cold, so that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing, and it's a little neater. It's easier to carry back to your seat. You know, the one thing we will do that a lot of stadiums do that people may get a little upset about is that, you know, when we take the top off, we're gonna throw the top in the garbage can, and that's just a safety issue. You know, somebody, not the person necessarily that buys the beer, but somebody who's, you know, goofing around, takes it to the bathroom, it's got a top on it, filled with water, it becomes something that can be, you know, not such a situation. So, you know, that's the only thing that, you know, we'll also make sure that people know.
Rick, we get a lot of questions, and, I mean, we've been through this stuff before, but it probably doesn't hurt to touch on it again in terms of future scheduling and what our strategy is there. You know, what type of games we're trying to get for home non-conference games. Obviously, Evan and I talked earlier, the Conference USA schedule is a dream come true for North Texas, both home and away. I mean, you know, it's great. But it seems to have turned the focus, you know, the focus of things towards the non-conference scheduling at home. Can you
right.
talk a little bit about that for,
sure.
for the fans?
Be more than happy to. I mean, you know, right now we're in a situation where, you know, we want to have 6 home games a year, and that's what we, you know, have tried to be committed to since we got here. You know, I want to address a few things while we're talking about this because, you know, I'm not, you know, there was an issue a week ago about our budget, and then there were people throwing things, well, this means we're going to play these games or this will be an excuse for this. We never, you know, I'm not going to try to make excuses about anything. We're always going to try to have 6 home games. That is our goal. You know, I will tell you that one of our situations, and people have asked about it, is due to the fact that we had a 4-game schedule with Tulsa. That when they became part of the conference, we tore that contract up, and then a year later they're out of the conference. You know, so now they've created a situation where in 2015. We're working to make that happen again, and we, you know, I'm not going to say we have, but I feel comfortable that we found a solution. And but that's always going to be our goal. I'd love to have 7 games at home. I'm not sure that's possible, depending on what happens, you know, with the conferences and the Power Five and the playoff system and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you see more and more games where you're going to see the Michigans play in the Arkansas, where you didn't see a lot of that in the past. So I think as these things change and people in the playoff system look to move up in the rankings, I there's going to be a different philosophy. So my philosophy has always been and will continue to be that, you know, I want to play a game where you have a chance to beat somebody who's nationally competitive. Now, I know one of the questions that has come up also is, why don't we bring Texas A&M to our place? And if you really want to know the truth, it's a financial matter. I mean, if you know, we could play home and home with Texas A&M maybe. I'm not sure we can, but we could work on those games. But once we do that, we're basically, you know, we're not making any money on that game. You know, we may get some money from the attendance, but it doesn't nearly cover what we get in a guarantee game. So if I turn around and I only have one of those games a year, and let's say I'm playing one team on the road to help with our budget, and then I all of a second game I put in there is somebody, you know, like that, that's at our home place, you know, now you're putting on a coaching staff that you got two of those games. Whether you call it a guarantee game or whatever you call it, you got two of them. You know, my job and my goal, I think and believe as an athletic director, is put our coaches in the best position to win. You know, to put ourselves in the best position to get to a bowl game, best position to be able to recruit because we're winning games. I mean, I came here in 2001, and everybody I'm sure on this board, you know, we started out 2 or 3 years in a row because of the hand we were dealt that you know, we're 0-4. We're coming back home, and everybody's already given the season up because we're 0-4. And you know, I don't ever want to be in that situation again. I don't ever want to be in a situation where, you know, you put your team in a bad situation so that you lose fan base, you lose a positive attitude. You need to be in a position to schedule so that you can win games and be in a position to win 7 games and really 8 games. You know, you go back to last year, we won 8 games. When we won that 8th game, we were assured we were in a bowl game. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. When you're at 7, sometimes you're on the bubble, even with 5 or 6 guaranteed games. So if you, 5 or 6 guaranteed bowls. So if you got a great run in the conference, and all of a sudden 7 teams are eligible, then it becomes, you know, a choosing match among bowl games. And so, you know, I want to make sure that we got that opportunity to try to get to 8 games. Now, that means we have to take care of our business in the conference too. I get that. So from an out of conference schedule, I try to make sure that. We have a schedule that allows us to be able to go on the road and have a chance to win those games, win a game, to go to a nationally competitive game and have a chance to make an impression. I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, you know, we haven't had what I would call a signature win in a while. You can look back across the conference, whether it's Monroe beating Alabama or, you know, whoever, you know, you can go back to games and pick them out among different schools. We need to compete at that level, and I believe Dan McCarney's building the kind of team and talent level, just like we went to Georgia last year. And even though we were talented last year, we still didn't have a lot of depth. But we went there and played well with that team. So, you know, I want to get to a point where you go and you play those games, it's because you get a chance to make a national impact.
Rick, one of the things that a lot of people were talking about this year and the scheduling, and it's been a long time coming. I know you worked on this several years ago, is the SMU game. There's a lot of excitement about this game. It's going to be a huge crowd. You know, tell us how everybody's feeling about that game. Are we going to see some more promotion of that game, or is it kind of promoting itself and selling?
Well, no. It's not that we're not. I mean, you know, one of the things people say, well, we don't see promotions. And I understand that. I wish I had a $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 budget to do marketing. Okay, we're doing a lot of social media stuff. You know, we're doing a lot of stuff with Facebook and all of the social media stuff. You know, to buy and SMU proved this 4 or 5 years ago with the Pony Up campaign. You can spend $2.5 million, and it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that it has an effect on attendance or those kind of things. And that's the kind of money in a Dallas market that you have to spend to be repetitive. I mean, when you really think about it, I mean, and I watch a lot of TV, maybe not as much as, you know, some people, But you don't see a bunch of ads for SMU or TCU. You can't in this market. In order to make an impact, you have to have more than one commercial a week. And so, you know, we have to try to do it more from the standpoint of a grassroots type situation, getting out every chance we get an opportunity. But one of the things we are going to do, we talked about at staff meeting on Tuesday, is, you know, we have not filled Apogee, okay? And people blame me for it, then blame me, okay? But the reality is we haven't filled Apogee Stadium. And I think the Houston game, I'll be honest with you, it still kind of amazes me that a new stadium, Houston, opening up, that, you know, I know that we hadn't won, but we had a new coach. And I'm really kind of shocked that a lot of places that would have taken, you know, that really would have taken care of itself. So it does show that we have to do some things to get more students in. We've got to get more local people coming to the game. One of the things we are going to do is we're going to ask people to send in clips, you know, that with a tagline that says something like "Pack Apogee, Smack the Ponies" or something of that nature. And you just film yourself saying that and put it on there, and then we're going to run it. You know, we're going to run it on our social media, and we're going to do it, you know, with everybody from Joe Green to George Dunham to the president to cheerleaders, players, fans. And so when we start this, we would love for fans to send their clips in, you know, when we decide what it's going to be. And then we'll post them and we'll run them, and it'll be a continuous deal. We'll even cut some up and have one person saying one word, second person saying a second word, to start a buzz, because we do need this. We're working right now with several large groups, communities in schools, the Boy Scouts, and other folks to come to that game as groups to help us fill the end zone. You know, but we've got to get to the point. I mean, we have a coach right now that, you know, I believe is as good as it gets when you're around him every day. I mean, he is the consummate coach in that not only is he continuing to elevate the level of our talent, not only is he holding kids accountable and teaching them to be champions, but he's winning games. You know, I mean, he's winning games. And he's available, and he's out there, and he's visible, and we've got a program now that I believe, you know, we signed him to a long-term contract that I believe is on solid ground, and we've got to now just build a fan base that has to step up and buy these tickets. I mean, we can make excuses about promotions or whatever it might be, but the reality is that with the product we have on the field and the facility we now have, with the coaching staff that we now have, which is what people asked for, we ought to be selling tickets, and people ought to be filling the place up. You know, when we talk about who we play, if we were selling 12,000 season tickets, which is not a ton, if we're selling 12,000 season tickets and you had 1,500 to 2,000 or 3,000 Mean Green Club members, that wouldn't even be the financial part of it wouldn't even be a question anymore. You know, I mean, our guys get knocked a lot of time, but every revenue stream is up in our athletic department, from corporate sponsorships to Mean Green Club to merchandise to royalties, and we're pouring that money back into the program, okay? And so now, you know, our basketball team's going to play, you know, 17, 18 games at home. You know, we haven't done that in the past. Reality is that we're pouring money back to put ourselves in a winning position. And so with Fouts, we have got to get people to buy season tickets, show up on Saturdays, and, you know, if we can get that done, then, you know, we should pack it for SMU.
So, RV, one of the things that kind of goes along just with what you said is the new young alumni section. How's that going? Are we getting what we're trying to get out of that?
Well, let me say this first. You know, and I'll address that. When we went to the conference, I didn't like the rule at all. And when I went to the conference, because in the Sun Belt, we didn't have a rule about not being behind the bench. And do people get rowdy? Sure they do. You know, I mean, these people want to say, well, students get out of hand. Okay, so let's replace them with people who have been tailgating for the last, you know, day and a half. You still there?
Yes. Oh, yeah, we're here.
Okay. Been there for the last day and a half, and let's put them right behind the bench and see if it gets any less rowdy. You know, so my contention was we're playing football games on TV, especially night games and stuff, and why not pack that place with students, make a great showing on TV? And so I pulled out the pictures from the Rice game of our crowd how it looked on TV. Then I pulled some of the other schools that, you know, that weren't putting people behind the bench, and it looked crazy. I mean, it looked ridiculous. It looked like the Tuesday night games you don't want to be on. And so we went with the rule actually to change it to have no rule. And some people weren't buying that. And partially because a school like Marshall, they sell all their tickets. So those are prime tickets in that 50-yard line area because they're selling both sides to season ticket holders. For me, because we're not doing it this time, then we need to give our students the best seats so that when they leave here, they'll have had a good experience and we can start to get them to be people that come back and tailgate and buy season tickets. So to address the situation, we have about 247 seats because of the rule that everybody agreed upon or that got voted through, let me put it that way, that we have to fill with seats. And so we went to young alums and said, listen, there's some people who just got out of school, want to still be a part of that section, so we're going to give you a discounted price and we're going to do this. We've had some takers. Have we sold them all? Nope. You know, but we've sold, I mean, I would say we've sold probably 25% of them to young alums. We've had some other people ask to purchase the tickets, and I don't get involved with that. The one thing I can clearly tell the conference, regardless of who's sitting there, is that we did not, you know, we reserved the 250 seats. One of the ways that we're marking those is all those seats will be chairback seats, so we can clearly delineate where they are. But, you know, my hope is down the road that we don't have to do that and fill that up, because I think if you can get students and you can pack that entire side with students right now, that'd be great. If there comes a day when we have to ask the students to move because we're selling out the west side and we've got to move to the east side, then that'd be a great day.
Okay, so, Rick, this hotel and convention center, I mean, you know, they had it on Channel 8 the other night, you know, prime time. It seems to be gaining traction. Is that something you can really even, you know, comment on, or what's your opinion on that? Is that something that's good for us?
I think it'd be a tremendous asset. I mean, I do. I think, you know, the fact that you got, you know, the hill there and it's sitting basically doing nothing. If they weren't going to do anything with it, then I'd like to transform it into, you know, if there was a move that it was never going to happen, then, you know, I'd love to, you know, make a great tailgating space out of it, drop-off areas, those kind of things. But I really believe the addition of a 13-story hotel with a large convention center would add so much to what we do. It would bring additional events, allow us to bring additional events to the university, additional conventions. We could build some of those around games. And so, we could help build attendance. We would have a full-service hotel there. Not that every school would avail itself of it, but several teams wouldn't have a problem staying close to the football stadium, say basketball, softball, all those other teams, if they had a full-service hotel. And so I think it's, I can't comment on where it's at because they do consult with us as it infringes on, you know, tailgating areas and parking and all those kind of things. And I want to thank the university for that because we asked to be involved, and we were, in making sure that we didn't just, you know, eliminate all that space over there with a hotel that we've grown to use as tailgating space. But what you hear in town, what you read in the newspapers, that it is moving forward, I think there was some hesitation at a point, but I think now it's moving pretty quick, and my hope would be that they would make an announcement soon that, you know, that project's is going to happen, and we would start fairly soon.
Rick, we can't, you know, we always have the basketball fans come in and try to get their questions in. I mean, can you address Tony Benford in this coming season and kind of what your expectations are in terms of how you would like to see this all play out?
We have to win. I mean, there's no – Tony and I got off the phone with Tony about 35, 40 minutes ago. And, you know, he knows that. I mean, we all know that. And, you know, I think I go back to conversations and people – don't want to hear this, but you know, I had to live with and work with Johnny for 4.5 years because it was a building situation. You know, people think it's different because Tony came in, and you know, everybody wants to throw out there that we had the greatest, you know, array of talent in the history of the school, which I'm going to disagree with because I know at one time Dejan Erskine and There were three or four kids here one time that were really good. They didn't win any games. But the reality of the situation is this. I think Tony's had to make adjustments. I think, you know, when people say, oh, well, the best player left, and, you know, I'm never going to beat up on kids. But, you know, this is not a one-man sport. This is not about satisfying one young man or that kind of deal. You know, so, I mean, Tony's taking the heat. You know, I don't think Tony's ever jumped back on a board or anything else and said, you know what, you need to shut up or you're not right or whatever. He goes about doing his business. And so, you know, I like the team that he has right now. I like just from summer workouts and the kids that have been around. I like the possibilities. You know, some of our latest additions, you know, have really been outstanding. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm like everybody else. It's, you know, we have to win basketball games. We're not going to have a program here that's going to, we're going to let dwindle away for 5 years and then, you know, decide we're going to do something different. But I'm still believing Tony Benford, whether people like that or not. I go to practice. I watch what he does with his kids. I watch, you know, how we do some things. You know, if we do something good, the unfortunate thing is if Tony does something good, it's a fluke. When he does something bad, you know, when a team does something bad, it's all his fault. I don't put that pressure on him. You know, my conversation with him a half hour ago was, you know, do we have everything we need? Same conversation I have with my softball coach, my women's basketball coach, my football coach before a season starts. Do we have everything we need? Everybody in good shape? Everybody ready to go? And, you know, I feel good about this season. I think we'll be improved. I like our schedule. It's going to be a little tougher. You got some people coming here. You got, you know, Creighton coming in here. You got some other folks. So I like our schedule. It's tough, but I think we should be able to win. And that's the bottom line. At the end of the day, we all know that. And, you know, I think in the past, I don't think I've shown a propensity to hang on to coaches forever if in fact, we're not getting the job done.
Hey, Rick, so one of the other questions, and I know we're kind of jumping around on you here, but
That's
we
okay.
want to try to get all the highlights in. This is a question comes up year after year. You always get asked. You never can really say anything because it always has to pop out there. But the question is uniforms, helmets this year. You knew that was coming. You could have answered it.
No, I just laughed because, you know, I mean, Dan's answer and, you know, Dan's answer to the question is you know, we're just not going to throw stuff out there and say this is what it is. I will tell you this, and people might, you know, derive something from this. You know, we talked to Nike this year as we were replenishing uniforms and because, you know, we lost so many kids and you have to reorder stuff and talking about different uniforms. And one of the things that we found out in the process is that Nike is going to change where their manufacturing is done in the process. And so we may get a variation in uniform because of it. I mean, we know that. So one of the things that we had to be careful of was do we, you know, go out and buy a bunch of new uniforms this year and then turn around and because we can't fill with the same uniforms the following year, then you have to go out and buy a whole new sets of uniforms, which we know we're going to have to do in 2015 because, again, the manufacturing process is changing, coming from different people. And so it might, even though it might be, you know, they might try to replicate, we're not going to take any chances. Every uniform is going to look the same. But, you know, there are some things that people have wanted. And I hope people understand that, you know, we have tried to acquiesce sometimes to the fans, but it's more about the kids. You know, I mean, we brought out the black uniforms last year. We brought out the black helmets at the bowl game, which got, you know, CBS got it on a national profile. And you'll see some, I will say you'll see some changes this year, but I really can't say what they are. So.
Well, it was worth a shot anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, again, I work with Dan on that. I work with all of our coaches on the uniforms. But, you know, when he says, hey, we're just going to wait, I don't want the kids to know. I don't want anybody, you know, so that's I acquiesce to his wishes.
Hey, Rick, question on baseball. You know, we still have the baseball aficionados out there. I'm one of them. Any new timetables there? Or are we still kind of in a wait and see mode?
Well, no, it's not a wait and see. You know, the one challenge that we have got, and everybody's aware of this, and so I want to address, you know, something else at the same time. You know, there was a deal on the, I guess, last week about our budget. And, you know, we had somebody jump out there and, you know, say, hey, the budget's been cut by $4 million, and, you know, this is what happened. And it was, there was no fact to that deal. There was never a talk in any budget meetings we ever had with the president or anybody that our budget was going to be cut, you know, significantly. Now, we took a little bit of a cut from the university because everybody in the university did, and everybody's, I'm sure, well aware of the situation with the university. That's a done deal, and I want to say about Dr. Smotris, the one thing that one of the things that I really like about him is he's attacked this head on. You know, but our annual budget is not going to change as a university very much. We're not going to compromise students. We're not going to do anything very much different than we did. And then from an athletic standpoint, because we are selling more tickets and we are raising more Mean Green Club money, and because we are raising more corporate money, and we have a bigger conference payout, I mean, we're going to see an increase in our budget this year, a fairly significant increase, which is allowing us to do some things that we did this summer. We brought, you know, our soccer and volleyball teams back and those kind of things. So getting around to the questions of budgets, because of the situation with the university, the one place that we've been affected is in our ability to finance projects. You know, in the past, we've always been able to have some options that were fairly easy for us to do as far as how much money we had to have before we could begin a project. You know, with the situation with the university, and again, Dr. Smotrick's done an unbelievable job, you know, we're in a different situation now. And so we have got to raise, you know, a majority, if not all of the money for the stadium, not necessarily in hand, but in pledges and donations. It looks like before we're going to actually be able to begin construction on a stadium. That has not stopped us from doing that. That has not stopped us from going out and speaking with folks. And we do have a couple of significant contributions. But the one thing that I have to be assured of, I'm not going to go to a company or anybody else and ask for a major gift to name the stadium or whatever that would put us in that position without being sure that we have the financing. And I've been assured by, you know, Dr. Smotris that, you know, we get to that point and we would be in a situation he would feel comfortable doing that. So we're continuing out, folks, but it did slow the process down. I mean, just the situation itself with the changeover in the president and then the situation he faced when he came here have not only slowed that process down a little bit, but a lot of processes, not necessarily in the athletic department.
All right, RV, one of the things that happened last year that was really popular, a lot of people liked it, and it came at the perfect time, was the Beyond the Green. Now, obviously, there's a cost associated with that. It went through the year. Will we see anything like that in the future, or how did that all end up?
Well, we start taping, or they may have already started taping Beyond the Green 2, or, you know, the next season, or, you know, it'll just still be called Beyond the Green. We know it's a great tool when you talk about promoting your program and putting it out there for people to see. You know, this was a program that people and networks were willing to pick up. So it was being shown in the San Antonio area, the Houston area, throughout Texas, other states. And so, you know, the dollars, we decided to take a portion of our budget and make sure that that thing continues to happen. We'd like to expand it. As we can get, one of the things we are doing is reaching out to businesses in the Houston and San Antonio area that are owned by North Texas people or even local people who are willing to support the program because it is shown in San Antonio and Houston, that we could expand it even further as far as coverage. So in the future, we would try to hope that we could cover basketball and throw in maybe in off-week seasons or those kind of deals, we could throw in the other sports in a compilation so that Beyond the Green was not just beyond football, you know, what goes on behind football, but what goes on behind all the programs.
Hey, RV, I hadn't seen the digital media guide that we put out. Did we spell everything right in that?
Well, I don't know, but I know that we spelled North Texas T-E-X-A-S. So
that's good.
You know, it is. It's amazing how one, one little thing like that will explode. And we make our mistakes too. So I'm not, I felt for those guys when I saw it come out. I knew that there was going to be a backlash and that kind of deal. So we've all been in those positions. We've all had those things happen. So, I actually kind of placed a call and said, hey, guys, I feel for you. I hope that we never have to face that situation.
Rick, we could just do this. I mean, we need to have you back for a part two, because there's just so many topics and so many questions. You just can't get through all of them in an hour show. So if you'll allow us to maybe do a part two, have you on next time and continue some of these conversations. I know as a fan and alum, it means a lot that you take the time to come out and address these questions, and we just really appreciate you for doing it.
And let me say this, I'm not perfect. I'm not close to perfect. I try to do the best that I can for this university. Our department does the same thing. I don't mind critics. That's what it doesn't matter what program it is. Everyone, they're going to be that. And I'll be happy to come on, as I was when I first came here. I used to get on the board regularly. And I'll be honest with you, the more negative it got and the more negative I got, and you and I have had this conversation, I just didn't feel like it was a place where, anything that I put out there was going to get, hit in the face with a negative comment. I don't think that helps our program. I don't think it. I think, like with my staff or the same concept I have in my family, and the same thing that I do with some of our donors. We praise in public, we criticize in private. And we have a great program. We have a great university. And I'd come on here every night to talk about the greatness of the university and the virtue of the programs, talk about and give answers like this. I just hope that we can all kind of understand that, every sport's not perfect at every university. If there was a university where every sport excelled, it would be a major miracle, to be honest with you. But you still got to support the program. You still got to support your university. Or I think you need to. I'm not telling you have to. I think you need to. So I'll do this every week. I'll do it every day to get information out, clarify situations, anything that I can to make this right. And I don't expect everybody to like what I say. I get that, or how we do things. But I'll be more than happy to address them.
Perfect. Well, Rick, we really appreciate the time, and hopefully we'll get to visit you again before the kickoff game down in Austin.
Well, let me say this. I'm excited about our kids. It's been a great off season. I saw a kid like Antonio Johnson today, and we talked for about 5 minutes, and I said, I'm really proud of you that you what you've done. And if you look at Antonio Johnson today from when he came into school, his whole body has changed. He's a really good player now. He's being talked about in NFL circles. He's transformed everything in his life, including football. He said, Coach, it makes me proud that I've done this. And when you go around and look at the rest of the team, do we still have some problems? Yes, we do. But when you look at the overall situation, our talent level is great. I think a lot of people thought we would drop off. When we had the great year last year, and you look at you lose a Zach Orr, and you lose a Breland Chancellor, and you lose a Derek Thompson, and you start around, and you go, oh my gosh, we lost all this. And then you look out there and you go, wait a minute, we still got a Cyril Lemon. Wait a minute, we still got a Pegram. We still got a Jimerson. We still got a Kitsy. We still got, these kids. We still got three-fourths of the secondary that played well, at the end of the year. We got Derek Okune back, and Fred Scott is stepping up in the middle. We got some young defensive linemen who've really come through this summer and done some great things. And so I think we got a chance to be really good. And, the fact that we're picked to win our side, that's just publicity stuff. We don't really pay attention to that. But I think it does say that people around the league, not necessarily coaches because it wasn't a coach's pool, people around the league respect us now. And so going in that game against the Longhorns, I'm excited about going down there. I don't feel the same way I did last time we went down that way. But I feel good about this situation. And I hope we can redeem, I hope we can go down there. And those guys that played in that game back in 88, that got cheated out of a game, I hope our guys can go down there and get that back.
That makes three of us here tonight and a bunch of other fans as well. It's exciting just to be on that stage. And I know the Georgia game last year tells us that, hey, maybe we can make a good game of this and be competitive.
Well, we have to start believing that we can do that every time we step out there. And we're not going to win them all. No, I mean, nobody does. And against those teams, we're not going to. And then, you know, the other thing is guys and gals and everybody else that's out there, you know, let's pack this place for SMU. You know, if you got an idea that you don't think we're doing, you call me and we're going to do everything in our power. And we met with the staff, football staff and our staff. We're going to do everything in our power. It is time we packed Apogee. It is time we do that. And now we got a team coming from down the road that's looked down their nose at us forever. And it's, you know, they need to come to our place with a packed house, not like when we went to their place and we had to pack the house. We need to show SMU that we've arrived and it's our time.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
All right, Rick, we really appreciate the time. We'll hopefully talk to you soon.
Guys, thank you much.
Thank you.
Go Mean Green.
Okay.
Right, go Mean Green. All right, so for those of you that are still on there, we're in 56 minutes in. We're going to pause real quick while we get the beat writer for North Texas, Brett Vito, on. So give us 1 second, please. All right, now joining us on the phone now is a beat writer for the University of North Texas for the Denton Record Chronicle, Brett Vito. Brett, thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, Brett, it's been an interesting season for everybody, an off season that is, after the bowl victory. So how has everything changed for you? Because I know you had a lot more to do this year than last year.
Oh, I don't know. The season just lasted so much longer. You know, when you play a late bowl game like that, it kind of stretches things out. And, of course, you know, spring practice was right after that. But, you know, once the bowl game's over, it pretty much kind of falls into place the same way. I mean, maybe you get a few more requests for different things from different publications, or you get an opportunity to write a little more for some different people. But, you know, it pretty much stays fairly similar.
Does that mean you actually had to make different arrangements for the holidays this year?
Yeah, actually, you know, it was a little different. I was sitting, Vicky and I went and stayed in a cabin up at a lake not too far from here. I was sitting there talking to the coaches from the head coach from UNLV, working on our magazine while we were sitting on vacation, which really wasn't the plan. I thought, you know, if they went to a bowl game, I was assuming it would be a little bit earlier. They just happened to land in a really late one.
Well, you had 9 years off, Brett, so, or however many.
Yeah, it was a long time between bowl games. I had to go digging for that old bowl section because I wanted to use some of the same format, some of the same trinkets and things like that. I had to go digging for that thing to find the last New Orleans bowl section I did. It was quite a while ago.
Okay, so Brett, obviously the question that we're getting in the chat room and on the board and everything else is what's going on at Mean Green Camp, Camp Denton. I think the fans are hoping that you got your trusty telescope out and are peering through the fences.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Max a little old school in that regard. I mean, he, you know, in spring, I go to everything. You know, I go out there. If they're practicing at 6 in the morning, I'll go drag my sorry butt out of bed and go sit in stands and, you know, watch practice and try to glean every bit I can for our readership. But during the fall, he closes it, and then they have player and coach interviews, you know, about 3 times a week, which is plenty reasonable in terms of player interviews. So really the only thing you miss is kind of the you know, the ability to go out there and just stand and watch what's going on. And I think a lot of that's just kind of the whole philosophy of, you know, we don't want to give anybody an idea of who our good players are, who's injured and things like that. And, you know, I can understand where Max is coming from. So, you know, I really haven't had a chance to see anything, which makes everything kind of a bit of a mystery going into the year.
Any inklings, any things that you're reading between the lines, you know, be it through your interviews or calls or social media or anything that's catching your attention?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the only thing you can really, the only thing you really get is, you know, what Chico tweets or what some different coaches will put out there, or, you know, sometimes the athletic department will put a little something up, you know, a little bit of what they have, some of the people that work there have observed and who they allow into practice. I mean, you know, Chico's made some positive comments about the different wide receivers at different points with Shelf and, you know, Carlos Tierras, the usual suspects you'd expect. I think Turner Smiley's having a pretty good camp, you know, the young wide receiver. So it'll, you know, that seems to be the direction it's going.
Okay, so you've been following this program closer than anybody else over, golly, how long has it been now, 15 years or something?
Yeah, about 10 or so.
10 or so. Anyway, so who's going to be the starting quarterback against Texas, Brett?
Man, if I had to take a random guess, it'd be really tough at this point because I think it's going to be Greer or it's going to be McNulty. I just think that that's the reality of it. If I had to guess, just because – you know, McNulty's had so much experience in the system, I just wonder if they don't go that direction. I think Greer's going to have to take the job. And since you can't see practice, it's hard to tell, you know, whether he's going to take the job or not. So if I had my guess, I'd say you'd probably see McNulty, and then maybe you'll see Greer. I mean, if nobody's won the job at this point, or they saw him all spring and ended up right back at square one. So I find it hard to believe in this course of, you know, the short amount of practice time you have there that all of a sudden you're going to get a definitive starter. I wonder if they may not play them both at opening game, and then whoever plays the best, you know, would get the nod for SMU.
What, Brett, do you have a feel for, you know, what the recruiting stuff? I mean, I know you're following that a lot closer, you know, in terms of the blog and things of that. How is recruiting going up to this point from your vantage point?
Well, and that's one thing that when practice is closed like that, and you don't have as much opportunity to just go out there and post random, you know, observations and practice blogs and live stuff and things like that. You know, that's one thing that you can really follow close. And I've talked to, geez, probably 40 kids that have, you know, considered North Texas at some level or another. I think it's going really pretty well for them across the board. You know, they've gotten some really solid players. They haven't gotten that big wow guy, you know, like maybe a Florida Atlantic has got a couple of those guys on board at this point, but they just seem to be recruiting so solidly across the board with guys like Ashton Preston and Abdul Beecham. Sam Miller was a really good get. Nate Brooks had an offer from Louisiana Tech. They just seem to be grabbing a lot of really good mid-major players that fit their system, have some interest in sticking around Texas, and they just seem to be doing really well across the board, probably better than they have in a while.
Okay, so who's kicking butt as far as Conference USA and recruiting from what you can gather right now?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the thing that you look at, I guess, is the guys that do this for a living. You know, the guys that follow it, that's what they do. They do it full time. They're in the business of evaluating talent. And I was mentioning this to a UNT player who ran into on the way out of Friday Night Lights. I've never claimed to be a talent evaluator. You know, there's guys that do that for a living. But, you know, you can see what players look good on the field. But the guys that know and the guys that do it for a living seem to think that Florida Atlantic is doing really well, who ironically has Chris Hurd there as one of their recruiters. And, you know, Louisiana Tech's doing pretty well, as far as, you know, what seems to be kind of the consensus opinion out there of people that do that for a living.
Okay, so we had to kind of do a short segment with you and with RV on tonight, but we will have you back on as we do always, you know, throughout the season leading up to the games. Anything that you want to promote or pub that's coming out in the DRC or in your blog in the next couple of days?
You know, the thing we're really hunkering down on at this point is just our preseason football magazine that, you know, we spend 6 months on and pays a ton of bills and we spend a lot of time on. We just did our second of four photo shoots for it. We did the cover the other day. Well, that's just the ones we do for the covers. There's actually 29 total photo shoots that take place over the course of a couple of weeks. And yeah, it'll be 120 pages again this year. And we like to think of it as kind of the definitive publication in terms of, you know, not just, it's more than North Texas football. You know, it's also the Denton City area high schools and things like that. But a lot of it is North Texas, about probably 40 or so pages of it. So I think it'll be a good publication again this year, and we're pretty far into it now.
Hey, Brett, now, in the previous years, for those people that are out of the area or something, they can, how can they get a copy of this? They download it? I mean, I know a lot of people go to Denton just to pick up a copy of it. I mean, this is kind of the kickoff, the primer for the year.
Well, you know, I did hear the other day that I believe, and don't quote me on this, I believe North Texas requested to buy about 1,500 copies of it. Or, you know, to get, or for us to get about 1,500 copies of it. So I think, don't quote me on this, like I said, I think that we may be distributing them somewhat, maybe in the suites or maybe in the club area. And if not, if you don't find one, just call our office and they'll sell you one. I mean, we can, or stop by the office or some way they can go about finding a way to send you one. And for 50 cents, I mean, for our, I think it's 50 cents because we put it in on Thursday. You know, I mean, I think it's a good buy for 50 cents considering it's 120 pages. And
well, it's good reference for the whole season, and it's got some great information in there. So definitely invite everybody to pick up a copy of it because this is it's a lot of work that goes into this. So, well, Brett, we really appreciate the information. Appreciate you come on. I'm sure we'll have you on next time. But thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, guys. You guys have a good night.
You too. Take care.
All right, Harry. Well, let's see. We're an hour, 6 minutes, and 51 seconds in. So we had quite an epic show there. It was good to have Brett on there. Good to have RV. It's always good to have him on. He's always got plenty of information. And what I love about RV is a lot of times he says stuff without thinking.
Well, I mean, he's a passionate guy, and
there's no doubt.
We appreciate his willingness to openly address. And I mean, you know, I hate that. I think sometimes, you know, he gets the feeling that there's a lot of negativity and, you know,
well,
frankly,
it's the negative people that are the loudest.
They're the loudest, and there's a lot of positive. I mean, there's a lot of RV fans out there, and he's done a lot of great things. I mean, I think back to our prior athletic director, you know, Craig Helwig was just an absolute, he would have never gotten on a podcast with fans and answered questions. And so there's a lot of real positive things.
He didn't even allow tailgating. I mean, when you look at the difference, and you can say what you want about RV. I'm a fan of RV. The thing is, if you look at where we were before he got here and you look at where we are now, if somebody just looked from the outside and looked at this, they would go, holy crap, you guys have come a long way. Because we have. Did it take longer than we wanted? Well, yeah, it took a lot longer than all of us wanted. But the bottom line is we're here, and we're in a lot better position than a lot of places. So that's the bottom line.
And let me say this to you. You know, there's no one that wishes more that the media was able to access practices than us. I mean, we would love nothing better to talk about, you know, what's going on in practice. And I'm sure Brett's the same way. But that's just not the way that, you know, Coach Mack rolls. And I respect that. I mean, that's his call, and he wants to do it that way, and that's fine. But what happens a lot of times is, you know, we've got a lot of idle time. We're excited about the season. So some of these issues come up, and you want to get answers. And I, for one, appreciate that RV's willing to address them. And he's always been really open with us about this stuff. So, you know, we gotta be appreciative of that. And but it's not a bad thing to ask questions. I think, you know, there's some good questions.
I'm glad
that were
he'll
asked
answer.
Tonight.
I'm glad he'll answer questions on what kind of beer they're gonna sell. I mean, you know, it is what it is, and I'm glad at least answer them because everybody asks them, and that's what fans want to know. It's not an X's and O kind of conversation.
No,
but it's what a lot of the fans come to the games for. They come for the tailgating. They come for the experience, and that's what this is. So that's great. I will have to say the thought of Brett standing there looking through those bars. Watching practice, and you know, and his little lawn chair out there, trying to watch and see what's going on. I feel for him there, but you're right. McCartney is old school, and if old school is what brought us to that bowl game, I'm a fan of old school.
But it's exciting. I'm excited to be back here with you to start the podcast up again. I know this is something we enjoy doing. We appreciate everyone in the chat room, on the board, and everything else being a part of it. We're going to have a fun season, man.
It is. I'm glad
this
we're
is
starting
gonna
be back up.
Exciting year. I think we're going to have a great season, and I just can't wait, you know, to get out there and start having games.
Yeah, it's a great season. It's a great schedule this year. We've got a lot of good stuff to look forward to. You know, Wednesday nights, for those of you that might be new listeners, we're going to do this. We pretty much do this every
season.
Wednesday night all season, and I know a lot of people are excited to get back in the chat room. I know my wife's boyfriend's excited. I'll be gone Wednesday nights.
We've got some tricks up our sleeve, some things that we're playing in, some ideas. We're going to have some new guests, some new names maybe that haven't been on here before. Maybe even some remote broadcasts.
Remote broadcasts, maybe some more video, because I know for some reason people like to watch us sit and talk. So, we're going to try to mix it up. Maybe some game highlights. We're going to see what we can do. So, if anybody's got any suggestions or any thoughts or comments, please let us know. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on GoMeanGreen.com. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.